Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 926. The topic is nutrition, and the title is Controlling Water Retention. I want to share just a fun little side story today, and we're going to turn that into an uneducational. Well, not UN educational, but AN educational. Good Lord, we're already side-railed. But hopefully this will be a podcast that you learn something from. Okay, so recently, my wife, my amazing, wonderful wife, and it's still so freaking awesome to say the word wife, she had kind of a transitional spot in her job, and it resulted in her spending longer hours at her desk. So she's been able to work from home, so that's wonderful, freaking awesome, amazing. I get to spend more time with her, so I'm selfishly happy about that. She's actually happy as well. So my happiness isn't coming at the expense of hers, but we're getting to spend more time together. But one of the downsides is she had to start like kind of sitting for longer hours at her computer. This resulted in just a higher amount of water retention than what she was kind of used to, what we would consider like her normal amount. Now, she's always eats really clean, so I'll run real quick through what her food is. But every morning she has a 3/4 cups of egg whites, 2 whole eggs, and a gluten-free bagel with cream cheese on it. So that's her breakfast. Then couple hours later, 4-ish hours later, 4 to 5 hours later, she'll have gluten-free pasta, and she has about 2 cups worth of gluten-free pasta with some vodka sauce on to taste, and a little bit of a grated kind of like locatelli cheese, if you know what that is. So she has that grated over top. She also has a snack in the morning if she wants it, or in the afternoon if she wants it, fruit. It's about maybe a cup-ish worth of like strawberries, a cup of blueberries, and a cup of raspberries. And then she was having dinner, and our dinner kind of varied a little bit depending on what she was hungry for and what I was cooking that night. But some of the nights we'll say is gluten-free chicken tenders that are crusted. They have like a breading to them, but they're gluten-free. And she'll either just have those by themselves with green beans, or she'll kind of cut them into strips and we'll have them on a salad. So just iceberg lettuce and maybe 1 or 2 vegetables included. So she eats that every day. That's her normal diet. It helps her lose a little bit of body fat, and she's feeling good, looking good. So she has celiac disease, which was actually a resulting complication from Accutane that she took when she was a teenager. So it actually messed up her digestive system and she became kind of gluten intolerant. So that's why we do all the gluten-free stuff. So she eats that every day. Now, that helps her, like we said, kind of slowly lose some fat. It's a good, healthy diet that if she wasn't even doing any physical exercise whatsoever, it's a good, healthy diet, helps her feel lean, helps her feel good, good stuff. Now, we do typically try to add in some movement and exercise. So she's used to be a CrossFit instructor. She has competed in women's physique shows. She actually won her second ever women's physique show. She's a badass. So she has tons and tons and tons of lifting experience, tons of fitness experience. So right now we're just kind of, you know, a little bit of a slave to the job, but we're still getting into the gym a couple times a week. We're still going for walks when we can. But our longer bouts of exercise, like 20 plus minutes, have been more challenging to get in. Now, we do have power block dumbbells, like weight adjustable dumbbells. We have bands and we have sliders and a hip circle all at home in our office. So sometimes we'll set a 10-minute timer. I'll give her like a circuit of 3 to 4 exercises. She just goes nonstop for 10 minutes. Then she goes back to her computer. So this woman, by no means whatsoever, is lazy. There's not even, that word isn't even in her vocabulary, and it is insane to watch how much she can handle. So us getting in what we can get in is amazing, and it's awesome, and she does a great job. But like I said, those longer bouts, the ones where you kind of move around and really flush out water, those are kind of getting more challenging to get in. So what she noticed was she was having an increase of water retention in her ankles and her feet towards the kind of later half of the day. And sometimes it made her feet feel a little more sensitive. And she kind of just, like, it was annoying to kind of like have that feeling in her feet at night. So my answer was, is I told her to eat more food. Now, if somebody's telling me that they want to lose fat, they want to build muscle shape, they want to look their best, and I tell them to eat more food, they're going to say, well, I don't want to get fat. And my answer always is why the hell would I give you advice that would make you fat? That would make me look like an idiot. So, she's never done that, so that's awesome. But that's what usually clients kind of give me that look, or they'll say, like, really? But I understand it. The idea of eating more seems scary because we automatically assume more food with more calories. But is that always the case? So what we did was we actually increased her consumption of food. We gave her more food to eat during the day. I gave her an additional snack of raw green beans and raw carrots, kind of like carrot chips, carrot slices. So it's a pretty good, like, handful-ish size, like, clumpy handful of green beans and kind of a two-hander kind of scooping of carrot chips. So she eats that, and what that did was it helped to reduce her water retention. Now, why in the hell would eating green beans and carrots help reduce her water retention? Why would it not mess up our fat loss process? These seems like kind of weird advice, like weird countering advice than what we would think. Well, raw green beans and raw carrots don't really have a lot of calories in them. And then there is a concept to nutrition that is very beneficial if we understand how to kind of use it to our benefit. And that is the term thermic effect of food, thermic effect of food. What that means in a roundabout way is how many calories your body burns digesting the food you eat. So in order to take the food that you eat, break it apart to get calories from it, the body has to give calories to that process. So we have to give calories to get calories. There are certain foods that we really end up at the end of the process not really any better off. We don't really have any increase of calories based on how many calories it takes to break that food down, such as iceberg lettuce and celery. Iceberg lettuce and celery really don't have enough calories in them that by the time we burn calories to break them down, there's really no kind of net increase of calories. Now, why didn't I pick iceberg lettuce and celery? Because that's not really, that food tastes disgusting. So eating iceberg lettuce by itself, I don't even know what human being would do that. And then eating celery by itself, I think you're also borderline psychotic. So raw green beans and carrots were something that she liked the taste of. They still fit the kind of need for us to be lower calories. So that way, once you added in or factored in the thermic effect of food, there wasn't much of a caloric gain, so we didn't have to worry about body fat. But why did that help? So I just explained why eating more raw green beans and carrots doesn't make you fat, but how the hell does that help water? Well, when we process food, when we break food down to go through our digestive system, that requires water. So not only are we using calories to break food down, we also have to use water to break food down. So if she had excess water in her system, we can eat food to use up that excess water. Pretty cool process, right? So she gets to eat more, feel like she has a fuller stomach throughout the day, still lose fat, and lose that water retention that she didn't want. Once we started implementing this within the end of the third day, by the end of the second day through the third day, she had noted that she was feeling a lot better and everything was going well. So it happened that quickly. The other kind of thing we did was we increased her water intake at the beginning of the day. There's a couple points to this. One point is it helps us not feel dehydrated. If the body feels dehydrated, then when you drink water, it feels the need to save more of that water. So if it doesn't feel like it has enough water in its system, hence dehydrated, and then you give it some water, it says, I'm going to save all this water. So you end up having extra water floating around the system because the body doesn't want to let it go. So I think we all can have the idea of, say we're out in the sun all damn day doing crazy things, getting beat down by the heat and the sun. We go in at night, we drink a shit ton of water because we're super thirsty. But then you feel like a freaking water balloon either that night or the next day. And the reason why is because your body was dehydrated severely. So then when you gave it water, it didn't want to then let go of it. So it held on to it. So by giving her more water at the beginning of the day, she didn't feel as dehydrated, and that allowed her body to not feel like it needed to save water. The other benefit was, since she didn't feel like she needed to save water, it made her have to pee more. Now, she might not have liked this part, but it meant that she had to get up one, two, or three extra times throughout the day to go pee. That's a little more physical movement than what we would have had before. Now, what happens if you don't want to go pee? What if you have a job where you're like, I can't get up and pee every hour? Then you'll eat some carbohydrates. If you eat carbohydrates and sodium, that pairs together with water, and then that holds the water within your system. So when I work with clients who have jobs that have limited restroom break availability, that's a weird term, they then kind of think to themselves, is how in the world, you know, am I going to drink all this water and not have to pee a million times? So therefore, I'm not going to drink anything. Then they get dehydrated, they feel like crap, and it kind of downgrades their metabolism and it causes a bunch of chaos. So if you go listen to podcast number 650, titled Body Weight Effects of Carbohydrates and Sodium, go listen to that podcast, okay? That will explain how the interaction of sodium, carbohydrates, and water, how you can manipulate that to hold water in your system. So that way you don't have to pee until you want to pee. Here's a weird story. So I have been a personal trainer now. I've owned Brutal Iron Gym for 10 years, but I've been a personal trainer for 19 years. And one of the trainers that used to work with me at Brutal Iron Gym said, Rob, how do you not have to pee all damn day? How do you not have to pee in a client session? So they were training clients, and if they trained three or four clients in a row, sometimes they'd have to excuse themselves in the middle of a client session to go pee. And they're like, how the hell do you never have to do that? And I said, well, it's because I control my carbohydrate and water intake to make sure that I don't have to pee any earlier than each hour. I then, as my dad taught me before every trip to vacation trip, was in between clients, whether I have to pee or not, I go to the bathroom just to see if I have to pee. So there's way too much information. But what I'm getting to is that you can, with knowledge, manipulate water retention either to retain no water or to retain some or retain all of it. So I can have no water to get rid of all my water retention and peeing a lot, which expels a lot of body fat, which is great for when people are getting ready for aesthetic competitions. You want to pee all the time. Get all that fat out of your body. What if you want to control how much you pee? Well, then controlling carbohydrates and water intake allows you to pee when you want to pee. Then why would you ever want to retain as much water as possible? How about strength athletes? If you're getting ready for a Saturday morning powerlifting meet or strongman competition, you want to be as bloated as hell, so that way the muscles are well hydrated and you're feeling fired up and ready to go. So you can manipulate water retention based on water intake and the amount and timing, carbohydrate intake amount and timing, and sodium intake amount and timing. So you can really manipulate this however you want, if you want, once you understand how to kind of do that. So I just started talking with a client that runs ultra marathons, and one of the things that they wanted to work on was water retention to help with races. This is exactly what we do. So I've helped people who run 100-mile races. I've helped people who run 50-ish, you know, to 100, somewhere in that range. And I've helped people who run regular marathons, people who do triathlons, Ironmans, all that kind of stuff. And we work on kind of water retention, and then how do we kind of stay hydrated as much as possible during those long-duration events. So it's a lot of fun when you understand how to tweak this stuff. But what I wanted to get across in today's podcast was, if you are experiencing water retention, how can you control that? Some factors to consider is, number one, you might be under eating. You might not actually be eating enough calories. Even if your goal is fat loss, you might be under eating. Even if your goal is to build muscle, build strength, but you're under eating compared to your activity level. So maybe you're trying to gain weight, but you're still under eating because you're outperforming your caloric intake. So you're actually out training your food. That happens all the time. So you can be under eating for fat loss, but you could also be under eating as a strength athlete, as a muscle building athlete. It happens to everybody if they don't know exactly how much to eat. If you're under eating, you will be watery than what you would expect given your activity level. So this happens actually with a lot of CrossFit athletes. I've worked with a lot of CrossFit coaches and actually people who've gone to the CrossFit Games. And they train so damn much that often they are under eating for their activity. I get them to eat more, even though they're afraid, because they don't want to gain an ounce of fat because they want efficiency of movement. But I get them to eat more, which is actually the appropriate amount because they don't realize they're under eating. All of a sudden, they have a shit ton of energy. Their water retention comes down. They look freaking lean, mean, and ripped. And they're awesome, and they're feeling great. So under eating can happen for fat loss and strength gains and muscle gains and cardiovascular endurance kind of people. So under eating is definitely something to consider. Make sure you're eating how much you should for your goal. Now, how do you know that answer? So that sounds great. Yeah, thank you, Rob. Make sure I'm eating enough. But how the hell do I do that? Podcast number 153, titled How Many Calories Do I Need? Go listen to that. If you can't find the podcast, the direct link, just email us at BrutalIronGym@gmail.com and I'll send it to you. The other thing we want to look at is sodium intake. We said podcast number 650 will teach you more about sodium intake. But if you're eating too much sodium compared to your water intake, you will be bloated. You'll also probably have headaches and you'll also probably just feel like kind of achy joints. So you want to make sure that you're consuming enough sodium, but also not too much sodium, and the right amount of water compared to the sodium intake. So go listen to podcast 650. So that's another option. Third option we look at is sugars. Are you intaking a lot of sugar, and especially at times away from activity? Are you drinking a glass or a bottle of wine at night? You're going to have way more water around your midsection. You're going to have that spare tire, that muffin top. And that's going to be because of all the sugar intake, and you're not actually burning up and using those sugars. So you got to watch your sugar intake. And then finally, the fourth thing I'll tell you to look at is, are you drinking enough water? Pretty much every human being on the planet should be drinking a gallon of fluid a day. So if you're getting in a gallon of fluid, it's probably going to help you flush out kind of the excess of water storage. Remember, if your body feels dehydrated, it's going to store a lot of water. So the more water you drink, actually the less water you retain. Okay. So that's some fun, little weird information. So think through that. If you're having trouble with water retention, consider how many calories you're eating, the sodium intake, sugar intake, and are you drinking enough fluid? If you have any questions at all, email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. I think it's fun every now and then just to share a fun story. So hopefully you guys don't mind these podcasts that are a little more playful. But just kind of neat to see what's out there in the world when you understand how to play with food and get what you want for it. So if you need anything, if you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, if there's anything at all that you want to learn about, let us know at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com, and we'll make a podcast for you. If you liked today's podcast, please click like. If you think it's helpful, share it into the world. Sincerely, the more people you share the podcast with, it significantly helps grow the podcast, and it helps us help more people. So please, if you don't mind, it's really awesome to share good quality information to people we love. So we can stop listening to people, having all these false beliefs about food, about training, about life, just their mindset. So please, please, please share the podcast if you don't mind. And then if you want any more information that we present, we always present new information on our Instagram channel under the name Brutal Iron Gym. So check us out on Instagram. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, but I don't update those as much because it's a pain in the ass. And then we also have videos on YouTube as well. So all of it's under the name Brutal Iron Gym. Find us and follow us. So thank you, thank you, thank you. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.